This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Pets Allowed. It is 6 minutes past midday. I'm Kevin. I've been gone for quite a few weeks. I went over to the US for blog pause. And joining me in the studio today is Dr. Alan Bolton, Senior Veterinarian at the Lost Dogs Home, Frank Samway's Veterinary Clinic. Hello, Alan.
Hello, Kevin. How was the other side?
It was a very interesting place. I was in Vegas and Los Angeles. So,
and you spent like 3 whole days at Disney World.
Yes, I did. Disney California Adventure, which was awesome. Got to see some, go on lots of rides, see some characters. That was a lot of fun. But I also went over there for a conference. So I spent a lot of time learning about social media and pet blogging as well. Thank you to Brandon for the morning filling in for Leo, and thank you to Jim for the news. Now, Alan, you're in the house, the Joy 94.9 house this week, to talk about pet health, and more specifically, we're going to be looking at pet vaccines. This is something quite interesting to talk about.
It is. It's something quite important because vaccines play a huge role not only in protecting individual animals, but protecting all our animals as a whole, so it's important that people get on board and vaccinate their animals.
Now, we're going to be putting aside some time this week on the program to explore what vaccines are, how they work, why they are important, and also present some maybe some differing views on them as well. Don't forget, though, we do want to hear from you. We'd love when everyone joins in on the program. So, seeing as we've got Dr. Alan Bolton in the house, we want to know, what are your pet health-related questions?
Pets Allowed. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
You can also SMS 0427JOY949 or send a message through the Joy smartphone app. But also coming up on Pets Allowed today, Dr. Alan is going to be taking a question from Joy's very own Chapao from Chapao Show and Weekender Extender.
And I will tackle a few feline questions that came through this week from cat owners. So prick up your ears for this one.
We're going to be having our third installment of Finishing School, which is a new program that we have with Planet Canine.
It hadn't started when you went away, had it?
No, it was the week after I went away. It was the first week of Finishing School, but I am now back and doing the videos. So
it was good last week. My dog went as a visitor.
Oh, and excellent. Time. Yeah, he was here this week as well, wasn't he, though?
Last Friday he was
there. Yeah, last Friday. And it seems really interesting.
Yes, and finally, we will catch up with the happy adopters of bonded senior duo, our very own golden girls, Chloe and Pepper.
Let's jump straight into some music, though. We've got Estelle featuring Kanye West with American Boy. It is 9 minutes past midday. You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
It is time to have a look at the news and events from last week. Now, a couple of stories that have been up on our website have been, it was Volunteer Week last week, so we had a couple of interviews with our volunteers as part of Pets Allowed last Friday, and so there's been a couple of stories going up on our Facebook page about them, and we've also had some great senior pets going up as well.
That's right. May is Senior Pets Month at Frank Samway's Vet Clinic, and so we're encouraging people with older pets to think about their pets' health, perhaps bring them in for a checkup, see if there's anything we can do in regards to arthritis, heart disease, maybe weight management, all those things that come along as you get a bit older.
Now, as part of Senior Pets Month, Alan, what we've had on our Facebook page is a Senior Pets album. So we were looking for adopted senior pets that people have been sending in via our Facebook page. They've been sending us a message, or also via our communications email. So it's been great. We've had a big response. We've had lots of people sending in some gorgeous pictures of their pets. So we've had, I think the earliest one we had was someone who adopted in 1997. So that's 17 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the cat, I think it was a cat, and it's still going strong. Mm-hmm. So, but we'd love to see, if you want to send us a picture of your senior pet and tell us a little bit about them. We classify senior usually as over 7, Alan, is that?
Yeah,
right?
I guess 7 to 8.
Yeah.
We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. It depends sort of breed to breed. So small dogs tend to live much longer than older dogs.
Yeah, and bigger dogs, yes. Definitely check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/lostdogshome. Now, every week on Pets Allowed, we do like to do a certain segment.
This week's Pet of the Week.
And speaking of senior pets, we have a lovely 10-year-old dog.
We do. We have Jacko, who is, he's down as a Shetland sheepdog cross, and he looks like he's crossed with a pom. And in his photograph, he's got a great smile, and he certainly doesn't look 10. You know, his eyes are pretty bright, and he looks pretty lively. But nonetheless, he's 10 years old. He's really cheeky, cheerful, happy dog. He needs a new home. He's friendly, and he's a little bit attention-seeking. So even though he's 10, you need to remember that he will need training and will need to be kept in line. He's at North Melbourne, and his ID number is 819457. And if you're interested in him, have a look at dogshome.com or call the shelter on 9329 2755.
You can also come down to our shelter, which is at 2 Gracie Street in North Melbourne, and meet him in person. Now, you might have an adopted pet at the moment. You might not just be ready to adopt just yet, but you can make a pledge to adopt. So we are asking people to pledge that their next pet that they will get will be an adopted one. So you can check that out on our website at dogshome.com. There's a link right up the top. There's a banner that says, I think it's about 247 people at the moment that have made a pledge to adopt. So add your name into that list. Now, on the program today, we are going to be talking about vaccines. We're going to be talking about some pet health and vaccines and how do they work.
G'day, this is Mike Larkin, Weather Guy, Channel 10. Best thing about being the weather presenter, you can be wrong and still get paid. But more importantly, we love listening to Pets Aloud every Fridays from noon.
Now, Alan, we've had a couple of renovations going on at the shelter hospital at
the
moment.
That's right. So a couple of years ago, we renovated the surgical area. So we've got two surgery rooms. And on the other side of the corridor, we've got a recovery area, which had our kennels in. And we also use it for sort of sterilizing stuff and whatever, and lots of storage. But it's pretty tired because I think it was actually built in 1984.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was time for a change. So as we speak, it has been gutted and we're kind of moving dogs around and doing surgery across the road wherever we can. And it's going to get lots of new stories, lots of comfy new kennels, and it's going to be nice and clean.
Regular listeners of the program or people that have come down to the shelter will know this as the area where the Melbourne Uni students are at,
yes,
where they have their, where they do a lot of surgery there.
Yeah.
So that's getting an upgrade at the moment, which is great. And we've had one special case in the last week with a lovely
cat.
We
had a cat, which a really nice cat, which had a fractured, quite badly fractured pelvis, which was affecting his hip joint. So he had procedure called a femoral head and neck excision, where you remove part of the hip joint so it forms a false joint and it stops him getting painful and getting stiff later on. So he's gone to his new home, and that's what we like.
Excellent. Now, Alan, we're going to dive straight into our topic, which is pet health, and also we're going to be focusing on vaccinations. Now, if you have a question for Dr. Ellen Bolton, you can SMS 0427 at joy949 or email onair at joy.org.au. Now, first off, we should probably start with the pretty stock standard question. What are vaccines?
So basically, most people will know, but vaccines are a weakened or killed form of a virus or bacteria which causes disease, and we use them to prime the immune system so that if that disease comes along at a later date, the body can fight it off before it gets a chance to cause the disease.
Okay, so that really, it helps the body create those antibodies, doesn't
it? Yes, so it helps the body remember and recognize. So there are all sorts of special white blood cells in our bodies, and some of them remember things, and others produce antibodies, and others grab bugs and gobble them up. So it just helps to prime all those different white blood cells.
And in Australia, we have two types of vaccines that we use.
We do.
What are they?
Well, basically, we have what's called core vaccines, and they're vaccines which protect animals from severe life-threatening diseases that occur pretty much everywhere. So in the case of dogs, we're talking about things like canine distemper, canine adenovirus, and the main one, certainly in Melbourne, is canine parvovirus.
That's one that most people would have heard of,
yes,
as well. It's quite...
And it's something that we see reasonably commonly. Although it's got to be said, distemper
is pretty huge as well, isn't it?
Well, it is in certain parts of the world, but certainly in 20 years, I've never seen a case. But apparently there have been some cases up in, I think, Northern Territory in Queensland recently.
Okay.
And again, they haven't been seen there for many, many years.
That was something that a lot of people were talking about in America, that distemper is actually something that's over there.
Yeah.
So,
and certainly in Asia, in Singapore.
It's a sort of warmer climate,
yeah,
isn't it? And the water, there's a lot of water around. And what about for cats? What are we protecting cats against?
So the main ones for cats are feline enteritis, which is also known as panleukopenia, and caliche virus and herpes virus, which cause flu.
So That's one type of vaccine. What was the second type?
And then the other ones are non-core vaccines. So they're kind of more sort of add-on things. In dogs, the most common one is kennel cough. So generally, it's not a life-threatening disease. It's just annoying. But if you want to put your dog into kennels or go to a training group, then it's important that your dog has that vaccination. And in cats, the big one is FIV.
Which is essentially feline immunovirus, just like
deficiency virus.
HIV.
So that is a vaccine which we recommend for cats that spend a lot of time outdoors, especially in areas where there are lots of other cats around, and certainly if there are feral cats or semi-owned cats around. So that's pretty important. Another one would be feline leukemia, which is a similar virus. It's a disease that isn't common in Australia, but it's very, very common in Europe. So when I was working in the UK, pretty much all cats ended up having an FELV vaccination.
Okay. So I guess a lot of people out there will have an understanding of it, but just in case, how do vaccines work? When do they need to be vaccinated? That kind of thing, with especially with regards to puppies and kittens.
Okay. So when puppies and kittens are born, their immune systems aren't functional. So what happens is before they're born and in the first few days suckling their mum, they pick up antibodies for their mum. And those antibodies, depending on how well protected she is, are enough to protect them for the first probably 6 to 10 weeks of life. And then they just gradually wane. So what we try to do is vaccinate puppies and kittens just as their maternal protection is waning. But not so early, because the maternal antibodies will actually knock out the vaccine, so it doesn't work.
Okay.
So with both puppies and kittens, we tend to vaccinate them at 8 weeks and 12 weeks, because that's when their maternal protection is waning. Although sometimes we will vaccinate puppies and kittens at 6 weeks, just like as a sort of belt and braces approach.
Okay, so it's kind of dependent on the vet as well, isn't it? Like sort of the time period as well.
It's kind of dependent on vets, and I think it's more dependent. Lots of different drugs companies produce vaccines, and they all have slightly, although they protect against the same things, they may be slightly different in their makeup. So if basically we have to follow whatever the company recommends.
Just quickly before we sort of take a bit of a break and then come back to this topic, why are vaccines important?
Vaccines are obviously really important in maintaining the health of individual animals. So it's quite heartbreaking for people if they, you know, if they decide not to vaccinate it for a few years and when it gets older, because it's generally young and old animals that are at risk. It gets older and perhaps picks up parvovirus, and it may not survive that. So in an individual case, it's important. It's also really important as a community thing, because the greater the percentage of vaccinated animals there are, the less likelihood a disease is around. So, I mean, if you look at humans, I think smallpox has pretty much been completely
things like smallpox, polio,
eradicated worldwide.
Yeah.
Apart from, I think there's like samples in some lab somewhere.
Yeah.
And polio is pretty much unknown now, but like in my grandparents' day, it was really common.
So it's about protecting your sort of puppy or kitten, and also your older dog from sort of viruses and things that could be preventable.
Yes, and a lot of viruses hang around in the environment for sort of years and years and years. So it is important.
Let's sort of talk about, we've talked about what vaccines are, how they work. What's a recommended vaccination plan? You said the companies themselves usually put those out, but what's a standard vaccination plan?
So puppies and kittens, generally 8 weeks and 12 weeks.
Yep.
There's a bit of variation in that. Sometimes I think there's one where puppies can have their final vaccination at 10 weeks, which is obviously good, because then they can get out and get socialized much earlier.
Sorry, just while we're talking about that, there is a 2-week period after a vaccination, isn't there?
Yeah, so they're not fully protected until 2 weeks after the final vaccination. They will have some protection before then, so you kind of have to balance the risk of taking them out somewhere into a controlled environment and getting them socialized against, you know, the risk of them not being protected. So that's a good thing to talk to your vet about, and they can certainly go to things like puppy schools under controlled environments.
And also to people's houses. You know that their pet is fully vaccinated and everything like that. It's not a protection for life, so we have ongoing vaccinations.
So we do. Now, traditionally, we recommend yearly vaccinations. There are some core vaccines on the market now where they will cover animals for up to 3 years. But still, if you want them covered against other things like kennel cough, you have to have a yearly vaccination. So at the dog's home, because we have so many animals coming through and we don't know their vaccination history, we have stuck with the traditional yearly vaccine just because it makes it simpler for the volume of dogs that we do.
Now, vaccinations, it's always a very contentious topic. Like, some people are for it, some people are against it, that kind of stuff. But there is something, and it's a low risk, and we've talked about this a little bit, but reactions to vaccinations. Okay. I've had a friend who has a standard poodle that could not walk after having vaccination because she had a reaction to the C5. Can you tell me what sort of risk is there in terms of this kind of thing?
Well, I suppose the first thing, because it's a weakened form of a disease, often you'll see some form of disease. So it's not uncommon for animals to have a bit of a fever afterwards, which tends to make them a bit flat, a bit off their food, quiet for a day or so, and then it just goes away. So that's pretty common. Some other individual animals will have a stronger reaction, and again, it's really uncommon, and the risk of a reaction is much less than the risk of catching the disease. So it's still important to do it. Most vets are pretty good at knowing which part of the vaccine they're likely to react to. So often, if you have a dog or a cat that reacts badly 1 year, if you change to a different brand of vaccine, perhaps, there may be different components in there that they don't react to. Or if you split the vaccination up, so you don't give everything at once, you kind of just dilute it, and you can often get around it that way. Or sometimes we just give them a shot of antihistamine at the time, and that's just enough to sort of stop the reaction. So it's very much an individual thing, and if it happens once, then tell your vet to flag it, and when time comes around for vaccination next time, they can, you know, you can discuss it and deal with it appropriately.
But often what we're vaccinating against, they're quite fatal. Like, the majority of them are potentially fatal illnesses, whereas a reaction to a vaccine can
it's over in a couple of days. It may require a bit of treatment, usually doesn't, but generally it's over in a couple of days.
Now, how can we make sure that we remember to vaccinate our pets?
Well, your vet will give you a certificate, so you can write the number in your diary, write the date in your diary, and most vet clinics will send you a reminder after a year. So if you keep your details up to date with them, you should get something through the post or by SMS.
Alrighty, that's some information about vaccinations. Now, we're going to be getting some questions for you, Dr. Allen, if that's all right. We've had a few questions in. The first one is from the lovely Chappelle, and she recorded it for us.
Hey, it's Chappelle here. I have a question about my dog's dermatitis. Spikey is a beautiful 9-year-old golden retriever, and he has developed dermatitis over the past few months. I thought it may have been caused by the fact that we used to go to the family farm and he would swim in the dam, roll in horse manure, and then I'd give him a bath every time we went. But we haven't been in about 3 months, I guess, and the dermatitis just doesn't seem to be abating. He's got around his tailbone on his face and on his tummy. We've been to the vet who gave him a cortisone shot, some cream and some antibiotics, and I was just sort of wondering what I can do to keep it from flaring up quite so much. I've changed his diet a bit. He's not allowed to go swimming in any river or dirty water. We go to the beach a bit. I groom him every day. So I'm just wondering what I can do to make sure that his symptoms ease a little bit, because he does seem to be a little bit distressed and itchy from the dermatitis.
Over to you, Alan.
Right. Well, I think the first thing is the treatment that you get from the vet, you need to carry on with until they're completely clear. And often with dermatitis and antibiotics, that may mean 4 or 6 weeks of antibiotics. And it's important to go back for rechecks to make sure it's all clear. Changing the diet is a really good idea. Lots of recurring skin diseases are due to allergies. So a hypoallergenic diet is probably a good idea. You can talk to your vet about supplementing with them with essential fatty acids like evening primrose oil. That often helps. Rinsing them after a walk to remove any allergens that are on there will often help if it's like a grass allergy or something that they pick up outside. And I guess the other thing is, if it keeps coming back, you kind of need to talk to your vet about working it up and getting an accurate diagnosis and finding out the underlying cause. Because if you don't really know what's going on, you can just keep throwing treatment at it and it kind of half works, but it comes back. So it might be worth doing some skin samples, maybe some blood tests, because especially in a sort of middle-aged to older golden retriever, sometimes their thyroid won't be working that well, and that would make them prone to sort of recurring infections.
Okay, so there's some good sort of handy tips there for dermatitis. Now, I've had another question in from Pina from Brunswick West, who went on a two-week holiday and her two-year-old cat was in a cattery. Since they've returned, she's been using her kitty litter quite a lot and struggling to drink, like not really keeping hydrated as well, and she's been using the litter around 5 to 6 times a day, still eating food well and is her usual bubbly self, but just not eating very well.
Well, it's only day 2 on the question, so I wouldn't be that surprised. She'd be a bit stressed, maybe a change of food coming home from the cattery, so I would stick with the dry food as long as she's bright, eating well and playing normally, and I wouldn't worry about how much she's drinking as long as she's got water available. Animals, cats don't drink a lot anyway. Generally, if you see a cat drinking a lot, it's a sign of a problem rather than normal. So as long as she's got access to water, I would just let her drink whatever she wants. If it doesn't settle down within a few days, I would go and see your vet.
And if she's not drinking the water, can you sort of make it a bit more appealing to them?
Well, you can do, but you don't need to, really. If the cat is bright and well, she's drinking enough water.
Excellent. Last question for you, Dr. Allen, is a four-year-old cat that was adopted recently. I'm having some sneezing fits throughout the day, a bit of mucus as well. Not presenting any other abnormalities around her eyes, doesn't have a runny nose. But thinking maybe it could be an allergy because, this person that has messaged us in uses the fabric softener quite a lot, and thinking maybe there's an issue there.
If she's just been recently adopted, it's probably viral. So in most shelters, there are lots of cats together. They tend to be a bit stressed, and there tends to be a low level of flu or respiratory disease around. And often that just has time to incubate when they're in a shelter, and then they go home, and 3 or 4 days later they'll start sneezing. It can develop, so they can get mouth ulcers, they can get really runny eyes, they can get really blocked up. But as long as they're eating and drinking normally and they're bright, it's fine just to kind of let it go. If they stop eating and drinking, then they need to see a vet because they might get dehydrated.
Get social. See joy.org.au/petsallowed to follow us and chat all week long.
If you have any more questions for Dr. Allen Bolton, you can email us at lostdogshome@joy.org.au or find more information on getting in touch with us on our Joy program page at joy.org.au. Now, often at the Lost Dogs Home, we meet some wonderful dogs who just need a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of more training to reach their potential.
The Finishing School, which is a Lost Dogs Home and Planet Canine joint initiative, prepares dogs whose manners need a little polish before going up for adoption. This week, we're going to hear about Coco's behavioural transition.
Coco, the 18-month-old Labrador mix, was surrendered to the Lost Dogs Home after having a litter of puppies. She was bewildered, hyperactive, and untrained. Sadly for Coco, no one had invested the time and patience required to responsibly own a dog. Sue Conroy explains.
Someone has really let this beautiful dog down. I imagine she would have been a gorgeous puppy, super cute, trainable and eager to please. But instead of receiving training and proper socialisation, she has been used for breeding and then discarded.
Due to a lack of training, Coco had some bad habits that needed to be addressed. She would pull on the lead, lunge and bark at other dogs, jump all over people and bark very loudly for attention. Coco was enrolled in our finishing school program, and this began an intense effort by Planet Canine trainers, LDH staff and volunteers to retrain Coco. Trainer Nicole Beasley explains.
Using a gentle reward-based training method, we replaced nuisance behaviours such as barking and jumping with good behaviours. If Coco barked and lunged at other dogs, she was blocked from seeing the dog. When she settled and relaxed, she was allowed to meet other dogs. If she pulled on the lead, she would be walked backwards, and once the leash was loose, she was able to walk on. If Coco jumped on people for attention, they would turn their back on her and only pay attention when her paws were politely on the ground.
The program enabled Coco to be trained by many people using the same consistent method. This allowed her training to progress quickly. Coco is keen to please and, when given clear instructions, has learned how to walk nicely on a leash, sit and stay, and has even participated in an agility class. Importantly, Coco is learning not to jump all over people. We have introduced Coco to problem-solving toys and spent time teaching her to relax and chill out a bit. The next step is to find this beautiful dog a new home. We're looking for someone who'll continue to train Coco and give her the enrichment and love that she so deserves. Someone who'll include her as an important part of their life. To view dogs currently available for adoption, please visit the website.
You can check out all our finishing school videos on our Facebook page or on our website as well. You can also view all of our adoption candidates at dogshome.com or come down to our North Melbourne shelter and meet them there.
Come with us as we take you to new heights. Enjoy 94.9.
I've had a question in from Liz Allen. It says, I have a 4-year-old Cavi who hasn't been vaccinated since her puppy boosters. At 11 months old, she developed immune-mediated polyarthritis and then pancreatitis given from the steroids given to control it. However, she does like to eat things she shouldn't in the dog park. Her question is, are the diseases that the vaccines covered worse than the potential reoccurrence of polyarthritis?
The main thing you need to worry about, and we've said this before, is parvovirus, and if she gets parvovirus, there's a fairly high chance that she wouldn't survive it. Now, she is probably still well covered for parvovirus at age 4, but she may, because most of the parvovirus is a really good vaccine, and it probably protects them for about 3 years, even though you're supposed to do it every year. One option would be she could have a blood test to see if she was still protected, in which case there's no need to vaccinate her now, straight away. The other option, which is probably what I would tend to do, is to ask her vet to get the most basic parvovirus vaccine so that it only does parvovirus, or potentially there's a really basic one called a C3, which we give to little puppies. And again, it's got the fewest components, and I would probably give her that, and perhaps give her a shot of antihistamine or something at the same time, just to try and prevent anything developing. She's less likely to react to that than a full vaccine, and again, that would probably give her another 3 years protection, so I would tend to do it that way.
So it's mainly the parvovirus that we should worry about, Liz. And yeah, if you wanted to get in touch with us, we can email you some more information about that if you email lostdogshome@joy.org.au. Now, you may recall a couple of weeks ago we featured our very own golden girls, Chloe and Pepper. At 7 years old, the vivacious pair were brought to the home together, inseparable and in need of an owner who had room for two in their heart.
And our wishes were answered when Cliff and Norma came to our North Melbourne shelter to meet the Jack Russell and Shih Tzu mixes, who stole their hearts within minutes. Pets Aloud producer Oz caught up with Cliff earlier this week.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down.
It's interesting. You're sort of a bit doubtful. You're wondering what they'll be like and how they'll react. And it was great. They were very, very bright, cheerful, happy little dogs. They were full of beans. And we sort of spent, what, I suppose 10 or 15 minutes walking them around your yard and getting to know them. And we both sort of looked at each other and said, right, these will be our next dog.
Now, I know it's only been almost a week, but have there been any particular memorable or funny stories that you can share with us?
It's interesting to see them, how they settle in. The first day or two, they were very circumspect, you know. They sort of sat in, we had a little bed for them, and they would sit in that and watch what was going on, and we went outside, we'd take them with us, and they'd follow out. But then gradually they started to impose their own personalities, and one of them is more dominant than the other, but they still have sort of play fights between themselves, and that started after about 3 days. They have a favourite chair which they'll leap into, and sometimes if we sit down, one will hop up beside us and the other one will go to a nearby chair and sit there watching what's happening. Sometimes they'll both try and get up. So they're quite little personalities.
Both Chloe and Pepper are a bonded pair, and they're 7 years old, which it can be challenging at times to sort of promote to the public. but you would know the merits of senior dogs, and what would you say has been one of the biggest advantages of having senior dogs in your life?
Well, the first thing is, of course, that they're already got some training. You know, you haven't got the problem of toilet training or training them to come when they're called and those sort of things, which we have been through in years gone by. But we thought that mature dogs would suit us at our time of life, particularly where it's had some training and some socialisation, and they were sort of ready to go. You've always got a smile on your face when you've got two dogs in the house with you. You never fail to have a smile on your face, to watch them interacting one with the other, and also when you go out walking, you're meeting people. Here at Mount Martha, there's a tremendous scope for walking, and we're meeting people all the time on our walks, and you get to talk to people, which you probably never do if you're walking on your own, and it's just they light your life.
Well, I think our golden girls may have waited a couple of weeks, but I'm glad they did, because they found the perfect couple to take them home.
Yes, we've always loved having dogs.
Thank you so much for adopting the pair, and it's been fantastic hearing your story.
Well, thank you, Oslam. It's been great to deal with Lost Dogs Home. They've been fantastic in every respect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was Cliff who, along with his wife Norma, adopted our gorgeous senior bonded pair, Chloe and Pepper. Keep an eye out on our Facebook page or dogshome.com for the full story this weekend. Now, Alan, our pet of the week was a lovely Jacko, the 10-year-old Pom Cross Sheltie, whose ID number is 819457.
Go and have a look at him.
On our website or at our shelter at 2 Gracie Street, North Melbourne. Thank you for joining me in the studio today, Alan. It's been an interesting week back to talk about vaccines and pet health. Remember, you can keep in touch with us on Twitter at Lost Dogs Home, on Facebook, search for The Lost Dogs Home, or visit our website, dogshome.com. You can also find all that information on our Joy program page, joy.org.au. Thank you to Alan for joining me. Thank you to Oz for producing, and to everyone who we interviewed this week. And to Shapal for sending through questions, and everyone else that sent through questions as well. This has been Pets Aloud, and don't forget to
walk your
dogs
and pet your cats.
Pets Aloud, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.